I'm excited to share a message here because I think there's something that we can all share in common. I'm going to talk about food this morning. Woohoo! So men should not live on bread alone. Sushi. Now, sushi is something that people sometimes just shy away from it because you might never have, raw meat, raw fish, maybe not. Or somebody have never tasted a really good sushi. So how does sushi taste best, right? What is the best sushi you ever have? It's sushi that certainly come with a piece of fish that is fresh, and ideally it's a little bit cold, right? You don't want a warm sushi. If it's a warm sushi, it's like, I don't want this one. There's a feel that's like hot sushi, but most of the sushi should come cold. With a little bit of ice, it just increase the freshness a little bit, okay? Now, other than that, the sushi also has to be eaten in a certain order to enhance the enjoyment experience. If people start normally with the lighter color of fish, maybe lighter, like a white fish, snapper, and then move slowly to the darker color, like maybe a salmon, tuna, or mackerel, has more richer flavor. And, well, people talk about wasabi, too. People put wasabi. If you don't know what that is, like Japanese mustard. It's green, but it's not yellow, but it's very interesting mustard. If you take wasabi with the sushi, it would taste really good. But some of you have never tried that. I want to warn you. It's pretty strong. And one trick to that is you always inhale with your nose and exhale with your mouth. If you do the opposite, you're going to bring tears to your eyes. Another one fundamental thing that people least notice, you know what, is the sushi rice. The sushi rice is not just rice, but it's rice prepared, and also they mix with a little bit of sugar, vinegar, and oil. And the way you hold it is, if people hold up your chopstick and it just fall apart, that doesn't pass the test. And so a lot of young sushi chefs, they would work hard to make sure it's hard, it's firm. But then if you chew in your mouth, the fish is gone. You're just chewing a piece of rice that doesn't taste good. Now, the challenge is you should hold up to the chopstick test, and it should fall apart in your mouth, blend with the meat, enhance the body, texture, and flavor of their salmon. Now, also, some people put the whole sushi dip into the soy sauce and wasabi, and that will be rich in flavor. But have you tried this? It's put a wasabi on one end of the sushi and dip the other end slightly into the sauce, and then let the mixing, the harmony of the food flavor happen in your mouth. That's one way to make sushi. Well, I love Italian food too. Now, I used to go to some Italian restaurant, open up menu, say, that looks really good. May I have some linguine di mare? And the waiter would look at me and pause a little bit. Okay, yes, sir. Later, my friend told me, George, that's Italian. You didn't do it right. It's not linguine di mare, if I read just English, right? It should be pronounced linguine di mare. Okay, I'm learning American culture here. Well, certainly the seafood has to be fresh. And you do notice that there's like mussel, clams, shrimp, a little octopus. Don't you realize they all have to have different time to cook to be the just right? So you have to do them separately and then mix them. The part of the red sauce is a fresh tomato that will be really fresh. That will make you feel like, I'm in a garden here. Now you also add it with the sun-dried tomato that enhances the flavor. The fresh tomato and the sun-dried tomato, that's really good. And the linguine itself, it has to be also just right. There's a lot of things has to be happening just right, and you mix it together. The linguine has to be almost barely cooked. You don't want it to be soft and it fall apart. It has to have some muscle and power and strength. When you chew it, kind of bounce back in your mouth and provide that interesting chewing experience. All has to mix just right for a dish of linguine di mare. Well, I'm Chinese. I'll bring you some Chinese delicacy as well. So this is what we call pan-fried bun, or we call 生煎包. Now you can order in a Chinese restaurant. Do you have 生煎包? So it's a pan-fried bun, but the bun on the top is steam. So it's like soft, almost like angel cake. But the bottom is pan fried. So imagine, top is soft and tender. The bottom is like crispy and flavorful. And then you dip it. When it's almost done, you sprinkle some white sesame and green onion. You dip it in like ginger and vinegar, and you bite into it. The juice from the pork should flow and mix. I'm hungry now. Food. So let's talk about food. Well, I look up Webster Dictionary. It's a material consisting essentially of protein, carbohydrate, and fat used in the body of an organism, me or human, to sustain growth, repair, and vital process, and to furnish energy, something that nourish, sustain, or supplies. So that's definition of food. Now we've talked enough about physical food. Now what about spiritual food? Jesus say, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, Matthew 4:4. The big idea for me today is God provides spiritual food on top of the food that also provided by God for believers to be nurtured, to grow, and to live to the fullness of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. We thank you that you have saved us. We thank you for creating us. And we thank you for creating so many different variety of delicious food. But Lord, we thank you even more for you have provided spiritual food so that we will be nurtured, we grow, and we live to the fullness of Christ spiritually. We thank you, Lord. Pray that your Holy Spirit be among us to help us to learn your words and help this useless servant to speak right and speak properly so that we can understand together. Thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I look up the Bible. What are the spiritual food in the Bible? I found three kinds of spiritual food. What are they? Well, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Okay, then what? But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it's every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's not some word. Maybe I choose to like the word that talk about peace, joy, and love. But every word that proceeds or comes from the mouth of God. So spiritual food number one is actually the Bible. And I hope that you have it. And in these days, we don't have a paper Bible. We only also have it on a cell phone. And people say, is that okay to read on cell phone? Yeah, of course. You read God's word, no matter what the media is, it's great. How do we eat this food then? Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Well, time is limited. Let's eat. So what are the ways to eat it? Well, I find read. You can read the Bible, read the scripture. You can also hear. Okay, we are eating now. And also take it to heart. Take it to heart means memorize. The Navigator has what they call the word hand, or people call the Bible hand. Well, every finger helps us to remember. There's different way to read the Bible. There's hear, there's read, there's memorize. Well, what about the other finger? There's other scripture as well. They receive the message with great eagerness and examine the scripture every day. Examine the scripture. They read it and say, okay, what does that mean to me? They basically study the Bible. So you can learn God's word and eat this spiritual food by hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, and also, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Meditating. So here's a complete five finger. You can hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. So there are different ways that you can eat this spiritual food. People say, George, which one is more important? In other words, which one I should do and which one I should not? Well, I say, well, only the fingers that you intend to keep. Well, we know that in the book of Ephesians, we have to wield this spiritual sword, right? I have to use all five fingers to hold it up and imagine fighting Chinese Kung Fu or whatever with this. Using two fingers, I don't think I can hold it, or even one finger, right? maybe the basketball player can do this, but I need all five fingers. So I hope they use all five fingers to read God's word. My food, said Jesus in Matthew 4:4, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So the first kind of spiritual food is the Bible, is God's word. I think a lot of people don't get that. The second kind of food I want to tell you today, according to scripture, is doing God's will. In John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman, the disciples go out to find some food. When they return, they say, Jesus, eat some food. Jesus say, well, I have food that you do not know. They say, what kind of food do you have? Say, the food that I have is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So doing God's word is another kind of spiritual food. As we want to grow, we want to be nurtured, we want to be fulfilled, you need the word, the Bible, but you also need to apply God's will. So how do we eat this food? It's applying God's word on a daily basis. A lot of people read, memorize, meditate, but when it comes to application, it might be a little bit challenging, but let's apply God's word on a daily basis. Therefore, everyone who hears this word of mine, Jesus, word of Jesus, and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. When you listen to God's word and you put it in practice, it's like building a house on a rock. When wind come and the rain come, it'll be okay. You know, it doesn't say if the rain come, because we know that rain is going to come, storm is going to come, just a matter of time in our life. Do we have a foundation that you can stand on and you know that you can withstand difficult time? Have God's word and also put into practice. If your father is working in the backyard, you won't find your father in the living room. Some people say, I never see God's work. I never seen God's miracle, because you're looking at your father at the wrong place. Your father went fishing, you can find him in the basketball court, right? So one way to do God's thing is, what is God doing here in Murrieta today? Or what is God doing here today in Temecula? Or in California? We hear Alan and talk earlier about some of the concern about the 8th grader, 9th grader in our school. What is God calling for us to do? When we look around, there's a lot of people that have not even know Christ. They were in pain. They were in tears. Where's the source of hope? Maybe you have the source of hope. You hold a key of eternal life. Can you share it with them? God wants to bring lost souls back to his love and his kingdom. In the Chinese New Year of 2018, since we are talking about food today, we want to celebrate Chinese New Year in 2018. And we say, we want to make a lot of dumplings. We encourage family to bring their own dumpling skin or dough, and they make their own stuffing. And we have tables here, we're making dumplings. And 1 week before it happened, we'd say, okay, that's good. And we have a lot of people signing up. And they sign up on WeChat this day, on their cell phone. So using electronic media to reach people. And now we realize we have a great facility, but a church kitchen cannot cook 1,000 dumplings at the same time. And if the dumpling is not all cooked together, you know, the kids are going to get impatient, especially with a hungry stomach. It's been in trouble. So we actually connected and talked to a local Chinese restaurant where we normally order our food. We say, if we bring the dumpling to you, can you cook it up for us? We can pay you some price or cover the cost. And that's Saturday night. We always meet Saturday night for the Chinese ministry. And to our surprise, the Lord provide. He provide miracle where he want the ministry to be done. To our surprise, the restaurant say, as long as you bring it here, we'll cook it for you. You have to take it away. And it's for free. Can you imagine that? A commercial restaurant on Saturday night cooking 1,000 dumpling, delicious dumpling for us. Do God's will and you see God work miracle beyond what you can expect. God brings surprises. Yes, men shall not live on bread alone, but on God's word and doing God's will. What about a third kind? I'm moving on to the third kind of spiritual food. The people of Israel call the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tastes like waffles, wafers, made with honey. I don't know how it looked like. It's round, white, sweet, with some fragrance. Donut come to my mind. But it's not donut. It is a food that God provided to the Israel people when they were traveling, get out of Egypt in Exodus before they get into the Holy Land. They provided food. But this food, we don't have it today. But it's a foreshadow of another food. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." John 6:35. Spiritual food number three, eating Jesus. Really? Eating Jesus? Well, John 6:56 also say, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." Ooh, Jesus used a lot of very vivid illustration. But I do not imagine at that time all the disciples stand up from the table and give Jesus a bite. What it is you are what you eat. I think that's how I take it, is whatever you eat become part of you. If you eat Jesus, Jesus become part of us. When people see you, do they see Jesus? Do they see a shadow of Jesus? They say, "Oh, are you a Christian?" That might be a good thing. Or people say, "Are you a Christian?" Hopefully that's not the case. And even worse is people don't even know that you're a Christian. We hope that when we take spiritual food from God, the words, doing God's will, and also living the life of Jesus, people see the glory of God reflected from you. How do we eat this food? Number one is spend time with Jesus. In James 4:8, if you get close to God, God will get close to you. God wants to spend time with you. A lot of time is, "Sorry, Lord, my schedule is kind of booked. I'll see you next time." And I would have to confess, sometimes I wake up and I do things that, did I pray today? Let's put it aside and pray. So spend time with God. God always wants to talk to you. And if you happen to miss one time, it's okay. Move on. And then just try to keep up and continue. One time I asked my fellowship to, "Can you read a chapter in the Bible and somebody time you?" And I find a long chapter, right? And they read it and they finish timing. "How long is it?" 5 minutes. And then I'd be silent there and people say, "George, what is the point of that? Can you take 5 minutes a day?" Some chapters are even shorter than 5 minutes. Can you spend time with God, reading His Word, eating the spiritual food, and whatever you get, put it to practice? Maybe there's somebody that you want to say hello. Maybe somebody you want to encourage. Somebody you want to comfort. Somebody you don't want to write a card or email. I remember a few weeks ago, I was traveling, and the week after I get a card from the church, I'm really thankful for the card. Say a lot of encouraging word to me to appreciate your pastor. I wasn't here, so I'm sorry I was traveling on business. But it gave me a lot of encouragement. So maybe there's something that God wants you to do. Spend time with the Lord. Do something special for Jesus. If you have a girlfriend, you do something to make her happy. Or a boyfriend, or your wife, or your husband, or even your kids. My wife Phoebe always say, "Well, what kind of soup do you want?" And then Gabriel Mitchell will say something, and then very soon the soup will be coming. What will you do special for Jesus? What would put a smile on Jesus' face? I don't know, but maybe you will figure out. Also, do something special for people Jesus loved. Who are those people that Jesus loved? Maybe people sitting next to you. Maybe this family. Maybe even outside this family. Even somebody that's giving you a hard time. You might not feel the same way, but it's the same people that Jesus loved. It's the same people that Jesus died on the cross for and say, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing." Also consider, what would Jesus do in my situation? Every people make many, many decisions on a daily basis, big or small. Sometimes you don't notice. Sometimes we face a difficult dilemma. Would you consider, what would Jesus do in this case? We talk about three different kinds of spiritual food: the Bible, doing God's will, and Jesus himself. Jesus is the bread of life. If you have these three food, you'll be in good shape. Man shall not live by bread alone. If you have physical food, would gain physical health. If you have spiritual food, would have spiritual health. Physical food could be nutritious food. Spiritual food would be God's word. You need to eat them both regularly. Some people are on spiritual diet. They only eat three meals a week. Sunday morning, maybe Alpha tonight, and maybe a prayer meeting somewhere. And that's it. For the whole week, they're on diet. I won't survive with that. It's like you'll never truly die, but you will never be healthy. So we hope that as we eat regularly, you eat spiritual food regularly. Eat adequately. Same thing, like the five fingers, right? There's many ways to eat God's food. Do you use them all instead of, I just want that one or that one? A balanced diet. Hope that you would learn and apply instead of I'm become a scholar, PhD in reading a Bible. But application, I don't know. Or I keep doing things for the Lord, but I really don't understand the truth. There's one big difference in North America and in China. Maybe the gap is smaller today. In North America, there's a lot of seminary school, so a lot of people have a lot of knowledge, intellectual knowledge about the scripture and the Bible. But how often do we put them to practice? In the third world, like Africa or China, someplace, I remember 20-some years ago, there was a place there's no Bible. People had to memorize the Bible. When the speaker comes, they say, could you give us the Bible? We have no Bible here. And the speaker will say, well, that's my only Bible with all my notes. But we need to have a balanced diet. Understand God's word and put it in practice. Exercise. Apply through faith. And with physical food, you get physical life. With spiritual food, I hope that we all have healthy spiritual life. So talking about putting in practice, I say, what are the things that I experienced God's mercy and grace? When I was a Christian about 30 years ago, I received Christ when I was in college. And I think about my parents. I want them to also have eternal life. I want to see them in eternity. I want to see them in heaven. If you have families or parents or children or spouse or siblings that are not Christian, pray for them. You know how long it takes me to pray for them before they become Christian? It took 20 years. 20 years is a long time. And I pray to the Lord, say, Lord, I know that you want them to be saved. And I keep telling the Lord, Lord, you know how great my father is? How great my mother is? Please save them. But none of those really impress God. I think our very best thing does not impress God. But God, I think, tell me in Psalm 23 that he will lead them because of his own righteousness. So I pray, Lord, you lead them because you are righteous God, because you are the God that loves. It's not about me. It's not about my parents. It's not about my friends and family. It's about God. You want to reach them. And God, through my daily devotion, give me Acts 2:38-39. Do I have it? No, I don't have it. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit. I say, Lord, I want my parents to have that as well. Now, at that time, I'm still single. I haven't met Phoebe quite yet, my wife. And verse 39, you say, the promise, God's promise, is for you and your children. I'm single. God promised I have children. And children, not a child. So, Gabriel Mitchell, my son, you are promised, son. God promised me children. And for all who are far off, God say, for all who are far off, and that catch my eyes. That's my parents. For all who are far off. And for all whom the Lord our Lord will call. It's because the God himself wants to reach them. It's not about me. It's not about my parents. Do you have family and friends that need to hear the gospel? You might be a media. God promised when we pray and seek for His guidance. God promised. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. God is faithful. 20 years later, they receive Christ one by one. I hope as an engineer, well, I'm an engineer as well, I hope God will do one step at a time and show me progressively how He will reach the goal. But God doesn't work that way. God works in an amazing way that requires us to exercise faith. Do you trust in the Lord? Do you rely on your own understanding? Trust in the Lord. You will never be disappointed. So we talk about three kinds of spiritual food. The Bible, and you can read, hear, study, memorize, and meditate. Doing God's will, applying God's word on a daily basis. And Jesus Himself, spend time with Jesus. Do something special for Jesus, for the people that Jesus loved. And when you have a situation, what would Jesus do? And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, God exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him, Hebrews 11:6. That's an amazing news, because all of this, you can say, well, the Bible is hard to read. Even when I hear it, I don't totally understand. Study, I don't have time for that. Memorize, oh, I'm getting old. Meditate, what does meditate mean? All of them are difficult, but with faith. And the amazing thing is you can please God. The Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, will be pleased because of your faith. This person, his name is Ron Archer. He has testimony on YouTube and on internet. And he shared his own testimony. He said at age 10, he is about to commit a suicide. He's going to finish his life with a gun. Well, imagine a child at age 10. You'll be dreaming about being like an astronaut, an athlete, a scientist, explore new things. But this child is trying to finish his own life with a gun. Fortunately, there's a hidden safety feature in the gun that he did not know how to defeat, and the gun didn't fire. Why would a teenage boy want to die? It's a time that they would enjoy life, have fun, play with friends. And he come all the way from his grandparents. This person, Ron Archer, his father is from Cuba, and his grandfather is from Cuba, and his grandmother is from Germany. They all come from outside United States trying to find American dream. They end up at Cleveland, Ohio. The grandparents meet and they fall in love and get married. From a series of events, this grandfather get into a fight and he was arrested for attempt murder because the fight is pretty severe and he was put into jail. They have 7 children, 4 daughters and 3 sons. So with the father put into jail, when the news come, the grandmother also lost her job. So how do you raise 7 kids with no job? Ron Archer's grandmother has to find odd job like cleaning people's bathroom things to make ends meet. And working so hard, she also get ill. She has to do a few operations, and after that, her health just go downgrade and go downhill. Unfortunately, at that time, there's a pimp that meet Ron Archer's mother, who is the oldest daughter of the, among the 7. He said, you know, you are sitting on a pile of treasure. He said, what is that? It's your body. Long story short, Ron Archer's mother was tricked into becoming a prostitute at age 14. And 3 other brothers become heroin addicts, and they join a gang called Devil's Disciples. With a father in prison, a mother in ailing health, and no place to call home, the children live a very miserable life. At 16, Ron Archer's mother was pregnant with him, not knowing who the father is. Well, the pimp say, well, being pregnant is not a good thing. It's bad for business. And they attempt several ways to abort the baby. But Ron Archer survived. At the end, he was born, but he was born with a lot of problems. he got pancreas problem, or we can say, actually the testimony say he got no pancreas, lung problem. He has severe stuttering. And when he get into school, he is considered a person with learning disability and severe stutterer. He often saw his mom being beaten by her client, and sometimes they even beat little Ron Archer. By the age of 10, that's why he wanted to put an end to his life. But a tragedy turned into triumph. In 1973, his life changed. On fourth grade, there's a volunteer teacher that do speech therapy, and he was giving a Bible, a Gideon Bible. As part of therapy, he has to read the Bible aloud. They record him and listening back and learn. So he read the Bible into a tape recorder and learned that the Bible is actually the Word of God. Until then, he had never seen a Bible before. He read the Bible every day for a full year. And he read about another stutterer, that the Bible called Moses from God, that God used him as a vessel to deliver people out of bondage in Egypt. He also read about another young boy who is a shepherd that is ignored and left alone, but with just a slingshot and a stone, he can kill a giant called Goliath. So eat spiritual food. Ron Archer began to learn from the Bible, and he memorized over 1,000 scriptures. And Lord healed his wound, and he realized that God will heal people with deep wound and use those people because our God is amazing God. Ron Archer began to understand that life can be a mess, but the God that he has, that he learned, and he trusts can become a new hope, can become a message, can become something that brings a new page to his life. Later on, this Ron Archer become a scholar. He become a student body president and a young pastor. You listen to his YouTube, he has much better voice than I have, and I don't hear any stutter. Spiritual food make a difference. Man shall not live by bread alone. Have you eaten today? I hope you do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that you revealed to us, that you have provided us not only physical food, but spiritual food. I pray that we would be filled with your food, like living water in our heart, that will provide a source of peace, joy, and love, not only to ourselves, but to bless those that we encounter. Bless those people that you want us to reach, Lord, here in Temecula, in Murrieta, in California, in the United States, and even to the end of the world. And as we pray, I also like to lift up Pastor Bob again as he is taking your word to Cambodia. We pray that you will do amazing thing. When he come back, we hear amazing thing. I know that he's thinking about us at this moment because I see emails throughout the week asking me how's the things going. Do I need to help you with anything, George? He is thinking about us. And Lord, we as a body of Christ, we pray that we will encourage each other. We'll be filled with your spiritual food. We'll take a moment to read, to hear, to study, to memorize, to meditate, to apply in order to please you, God, and also to bring glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.